This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and so pumped that you are tuning in. This is a call-in show. Feel free to call in at 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address one more time, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And as you are calling in, I do want to let you know that this week we're having such a blast. We've got financial coach master training that's been happening here this week, and having a blast with them. Got to share with them on Wednesday morning, and I just got to tell you that what we're doing, this movement of stewardship, is not just happening here in Nashville. It's not just happening with Ramsey Solutions. We play a part, but you are a part of the journey as well. If you listen to this broadcast on a regular basis, whether on stewardship.com, on iTunes, on the radio, there in your city, you're part of this. And when you share it, you're a part of this. And our Financial Peace University coordinators, you're part of this. And financial coaches, you're part of this. And the whole idea is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. And I'm just here to tell you, there's a couple hundred more professionally trained financial coaches that are leaving Nashville this week, going to their cities, and they're going to pour into their communities. And that is rewarding. Lots of fun. Next week, I'm headed to Second Baptist Houston with Dr. Ed Young Sr. and going to have a lot of fun with them. They're actually taking their entire church through Financial Peace University at the same time coming up. And so we're going out there to do a training with them on just exactly how in the world do you mobilize 26,000 people going the same direction at the same time. It takes a lot of leadership, a lot of coordinating, and a lot of structure. So we're going to talk through that. So I'm really proud of Second Baptist Houston, and they're taking it serious, this whole idea of stewardship and how it makes our lives better. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. I just realized I had mentioned Financial Coach Master Training. Also mentioned Momentum. You might want to know more information about that. Feel free to check out stewardship.com if you want to know more information about that. Momentum is taking your entire church through Financial Peace University, and Financial Coach Master Training is just coming here to Nashville for a few days and learning all about how to financially coach people. So pretty cool stuff. First on the line from Hampshire, Illinois, this is Kim. Kim, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Oh, good. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I have a house that we rent out, and we had a renter who didn't pay us for 5 months, and we kept trying to work with him, and the long and the short of it is we ended up having him move out and getting a new renter in, but we never received the $10,000 that he owes. So my question to you is, with the desire to be a Christ follower and to do what God wants us to do in this situation, we're not really sure what that is. Do you sue and pursue the money? Do you let it go? And I want to honor God in what we do, and we're not really sure what that is.
Yeah. So $2,000 a month, that's a pretty big rental.
It's Illinois, Chicagoland area.
Yeah, that's big. How did it go 5 months?
Well, because there was excuse after excuse, and we kept going, okay, and then, you know, we kept giving him a little grace. A lot of grace. And then, and he kept saying, I'll pay you back, but we haven't seen a dime.
So, Kim, your 15-second advice to other landlords out there, if they find themselves with a renter right now that's 30 days late, go.
Do not go past that.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for learning the lesson for us.
And I should have, you know, there's more to that story in that there was in his, we gave him a two-year contract.
Yeah.
And the first year he missed 4 months. Mm. But that one he was paying back slowly. He was kind of trying to make up the debt. And then in year two, he went 5 months. So
yeah.
We didn't learn after the first year. We gave him a little grace. And then when it happened again, we gave him a little more. If someone call it being taken advantage of.
And that's exactly what it was. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We follow a God. Jesus is filled with grace, but he's also filled with truth. It's both. And he is meek, but not weak. And for me, I feel like you're too heavy on that side. Is it moral for you to go after the money? There is nothing biblically wrong with going after what you're owed. Now, if you want to like sue him for damages and go and take it to the next level and try to really go after, which would be a waste of time because he obviously doesn't have any money.
Right.
That's another whole end of the spectrum. But going after what you're owed, there's nothing wrong with that at all. However, here's what I would say. Biblically, the Bible teaches us to go face to face or go to him as face to face as you can get and say, here is what we agree to. And you've probably already done this, but then this is for all of our listeners, face to face, if possible, if not phone, but very clear. Here's what we agreed with. Here's the breach. And here's what I plan to do. Here's step two. Here's step three. Here's step four. I just want to make sure that that's clear to you. You don't have to agree, but that's what I'm doing. But biblically, it's just face to face. Then you're trying as hard as you can not to get into the legal system. However, if you do have to go into the legal system to get what's owed to you, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But here's another caveat. Matthew 5:9 does say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. It doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean you don't allow people to pay you back. That doesn't mean it, but the way you do it needs to glorify God. You're still going to stand firm. But just the way you do it, you're just matter of fact, hey, we agreed to this. And really what happens is when he doesn't play the game, that means what he's doing is he is agreeing to the next step. That's really, in a sense, what he's doing. He didn't agree to the first step, so he is agreeing to the next one. And so he is actually walking. He's the one that's making the steps happen, not you. As long as you're kind through the whole thing, but you're firm, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Got it. So it's okay to ask, develop that contract. If it doesn't, legal system's not a horrible thing. If I'm strictly asking for what is owed me.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And here's the deal. You've got some indirect costs too that are very significant.
Right.
Yes. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. Hey, listen, I've got 3 months with no tenant. Now, if you didn't try to rent it out, that's on you.
No, I have a new guy in there already.
Well, good. But any expenses of having to turn the house over, I think all that pertains to it. But just know, if he's not paying now, you might be trying to get something out of him that he just flat out doesn't have. I don't know. But you know that better than I do.
If he is bankrupt, can they garnish wages?
Yes.
So it's still worth me pursuing.
Yep. You know what, though? With the garnishing of the wages, though, Kim, you're going to be low on the totem pole, probably. He probably has a lot more secured debt than this one.
Probably.
So you're probably not going to be in primary position, but it is something that to hope for, that you can get in position where you can get some of that. The thing is you are managing, Kim, you're managing your heart. Through this whole thing, the biggest thing, you got to protect your heart, your motives, your bitterness, because when we're bitter, and I don't hear any of that, and you sound very level-headed about this, very non-emotional, just very practical on the financial side, but just be really careful. The your most prized asset is that heart of yours, and don't let it get bitter, don't let it get insensitive. Make sure you manage that heart through the entire process, and that will make sure that your motives stay pure and make sure that what comes out of your mouth is good, your body language, all that. So just protect your heart through the whole thing. And if you feel at any moment that going after this money is hurting your relationship with Christ or the sensitivity of your heart, the 10 grand is not worth it.
I just wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing biblically, and pleasing God in this whole thing, because that's, after all, the whole point, right?
Yep. So. Exactly right. I think it's pursuing justice.
Well, thank you, Chris, very much, and you have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt, looking to buy a home. But you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal Housing Lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
All right, folks, I've asked you to connect with us on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Snapchat, YouTube, you name it, at Chris Brown on Air. Chris Brown on Air is the handle. Got a Twitter shout out for Chris Frasher, Frasher. He says, episode 86 is my favorite episode. And Chris, I've just got to ask why. I'm not sure what was in that episode, but I guess, hey, folks, episode 86 is a good episode. So go check it out on iTunes or check it out on stewardship.com. We archive all of the episodes, 300 plus shows. And apparently, Chris loves episode 86. Pretty cool stuff. Next call comes in from Augusta, Georgia. This is Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. How can I help?
Yes, sir. I have thinking about doing a debt consolidation and using my automobile as collateral. I do have equity in the automobile. And I was trying to see what your input would be on, is that a wise decision to make to use that automobile to lower our payments throughout some of our bills, consolidated by using the car?
All right. You're not going to like my answer, but I actually don't want you to have lower payments. I want you to have higher payments. So let's say you have to pay $600 a month or $800 a month towards debt each and every month. I want you to pay $1,000. I want you to absolutely cut every other area of your budget and absolutely attack that debt like crazy. I don't want lower payments. I want more payments. What happens when you lower the payments, that payment's got to go somewhere. And so it extends the term, and then they put on fees on top of that, and they do all that. And what you're doing is you're paying for a service that you can't afford because you're in debt. And so what I want you to do is do your own debt consolidation. And the way you do that, let's say you have six debts, you consolidate them from 6 to 5, 5 to 4, 4 to 3, 3 to 2, 2 to 1, and 1 to 0 by paying them off. And so I don't want you to do any debt consolidation, whether you use your car for collateral or not. And the main reason why is, and I wrote an article about this on stewardship.com. It's called Why Debt Consolidation is Dangerous Territory. Because the research says that most people who go through a consolidation process actually wind up back in debt later because they didn't really feel the weight and feel the damage that that bondage had in their life. And of course, Proverbs 6:5 talks about this like a gazelle, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And so what a consolidation loan, what it does, it's kind of like a gazelle. It's got, you know, the hunter is hunting the gazelle. The gazelle's sitting there. The gazelle kind of runs away a little bit and then kind of hangs around in shooting distance of the hunter, playing around with this debt, and still could get shot at any moment from a risk standpoint. And really, that Bible says, free yourself. I mean, get completely out of there. And so that's what I want. So debt consolidation, it tricks you into thinking that you actually accomplished something. It extends the time that you're in debt. And here's the bottom line. You can do it yourself, and you can do it for free, collateral or not. So for me, I am very anti-debt consolidation. Well, folks, you know, one of the biggest traps in our lives is comparison. I've struggled with it throughout my life in ministry, with money. I know many of you have as well. I know how dangerous it is in our lives. In fact, Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." That's why I recommend Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. You've heard me talk about it on this show. Rachel's been on this show talking about this amazing resource. Rachel focuses on the damaging money habit and walks you through solutions to comparison living. She unpacks six other healthy money habits for living the life that we really want without being buried under debt, being buried under stress and worry. So are you tired? You tired of trying to keep up with the Joneses? And you're ready to put that time and energy into living the life that you want, not them, that you want. Love your life, not theirs. We'll show you exactly how. If you go to stewardship.com, the new book is available to pre-order and a special offer that includes over $70 worth of free bonus items. Forget this, just $20. Again, this offer with Rachel's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, available to pre-order right now at stewardship.com by clicking on store. Stewardship.com and clicking on store.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Eric has decided to email in. He says, I have the best wife in the world. She's amazing, kind, generous, but whenever I want to talk finances, she just locks up and gets defensive. I used to be pretty obsessive about money and talking finances in the past, but now I only bring it up occasionally and she still clenches down and then we have a little spat. Intense fellowship, if you will. That's what I call it with my wife. I can't even get her to set a budget. I realize she has a lot on her plate with going back to school, working full time again, being a mother of a 3-year-old, and I could just as easily run the finances myself, but I'd really like to do it as a team. I often wonder if I should be thankful for what she already does for me and my son and do this alone. First of all, Eric, I got to say, man, I love the way you speak to your wife. It's a great example for all of us listening in. I would say this, if this is the only place that you're seeing this clenching up and locking down, if that's the only place, what I would do is I would pick a time when you're both feeling very open and honest, and I would just flat out ask her why. Why do you do that? This is something that I've seen in you. Why is it that you do that? One of the things my wife and I do is the question game. At our date nights, we do a question game. We both bring either, it's different every time depending on time, but 2 or 3 or 5 questions each that we ask each other. We ask them an intimate question about how we're doing as a husband or a wife, and then they have to reciprocate the question. And then we have to answer. Don't ever ask anything that you don't want them to ask you. It's a great time of intimacy and being intentional with that time. It's a pretty cool thing. I would do that. And I would just go slower. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. I'd start asking her opinion on just activities and ideas that cost money. The question's not about, the opinion's not about money. How much money's being spent, the expense. It's more about, hey, how would you prioritize this? Where does this activity, where does this idea, where does this purchase line up with our goals? Then it's not a money conversation. And then you can translate that into money on your own, but you got her input on the priority. Our next call comes in from Wyoming. Looks like Casper, Wyoming. This is Sylvia.
Hello.
Sylvia, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, my question is how to approach the boss to ask for a raise.
You demand it.
You demand.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, my background a little bit. I worked in the same industry for over 20 years. I have over 20 years sales and customer service experience, but that industry was very stressful and taking a toll on my health. So I quit and I took another job in the insurance industry and at a much, much lower pay, but looking to learn and earn and start a new career, I guess. So I was willing to take the lower pay to start with, but I've met a lot of the requirements that the company, or I shouldn't say a lot, all of the requirements that the company asked me to. Like, I went in, I already had one of my licenses when I started the job, and I got the other one that they wanted me to have within 60 days, which is what they asked me to do.
Yeah.
And they did indicate after that they'd give me a raise, but the raise was pretty disappointing. I'm actually making less than my 18-year-old stepson does at Home Depot.
Yeah.
But now they're asking me to sell more products and step up, but not I get no benefits or anything. But so the initial part, I was willing to take the job at the lower pay to get training, but I feel like I'm meeting my end of the deal.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to seem threatening or ungrateful, but
it sounds to me, Sylvia, as soon as you ask the question out of the gate, how do I go ask for a raise? In my mind, I had formulated all these things that I wanted to tell you. But since you've continued to talk, what I hear from you is a very valid, I wouldn't say argument, but valid point. I don't sense any kind of entitlement or ungratefulness in your spirit. And so what I would say to you is go tell your boss exactly what you just told me in the same tone. There's nothing wrong with what you just said.
Okay.
Now, there is some strategy involved in this that maybe can make that experience a little bit better. And if you don't have like one-on-one time with your boss currently, mm-hmm. where there's this regular once a week, you meet one-on-one for 15, 30 minutes, or maybe it's biweekly, I would ask for that from the standpoint of I want a little bit more clarity on my job description and how, here's the key phrase, how I can bring more value. That's where it starts.
Okay.
Start there. And what you want to do in those one-on-ones is you want to share your professional and your personal goals.
Okay.
In those meetings, you want to sit down and say, hey, here's who I am. He's going to give you some time or she's going to give you some time to be able to express yourself and say, here's where I'm going. Here's what I'm hoping for the future. Here's my 3-month goal in my life. Share what you've been learning. Share where your experience is growing on the job. Those are little seeds that you're planting. Mm-hmm. Then when it goes time to ask, here's the phrase. Mm-hmm. How can I earn more responsibility and compensation?
Okay.
I want to bring as much value to the organization and my family as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. He won't say yes or she won't say yes on the spot. They won't.
Okay.
Because they want it to look like it is their idea.
Huh?
This is what happens. So like 2 or 3 weeks later or a month later, they say, hey, listen, I was thinking about giving you a raise. And you go, oh, really? And then just go ahead with it. It's their idea. That's fine. But here's the deal. The seed was planted. You planted it. And they went back and thought through it. And then, you know what? She's got a valid point. So the bottom line is absolutely no entitlement. Entitlement is an often very sneaky form of pride. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that spirit that you originally called in with,
okay.
That humble spirit, you bring that in there. And for me, if I'm the boss, if I'm the leader, I'm like, man, this is a great team member and I want to make sure they're fairly compensated.
Oh, okay. So yeah, because I did have some, I guess I was hesitant because I don't want to risk losing my job, but
you won't have
some ideas on how to bring in more business.
Yes, share those ideas.
Okay.
The best employees don't bring problems, they bring solutions.
Okay.
So you come in there and don't say, I don't have enough money. No, you say, how can I bring more value? You're providing solutions and here's a couple ideas. You can take them if you want to. I don't know all the variables, but from my point of view, here's some cool things we can do. And you don't put any pressure on them to implement them. You just, they're ideas. You're throwing them up on the board and you're trying to contribute.
Uh-huh.
So I'd give you a raise.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
Sylvia, we appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
I got this email from Marshall, says, Chris, love the show and thanks for the inspiration. 3 years ago, my mother-in-law set up 3 UTMAs, accounts for my 3 daughters, ages 11, 9, and 7. Each account has $25,000 to $30,000 each. Over the last 3 years, these accounts have produced very, very little in terms of dividends and returns. What would you recommend doing with these accounts? Thank you all for your help. Thanks, Marshall. I'd roll it over to an ESA for the tax benefit. An ESA is a beautiful thing. If you put $2,000 in an ESA for the 18 years of your kids growing up, you've contributed $36,000. It grows to about $120,000. And when you go to pull it out for educational reasons, you get all $120,000. That's cool stuff. Well, folks, well, that is it for today. Great calls today and great spirit from you guys. You guys are rocking. You know, we appreciate you listening in. And if there's anything in this particular episode that you'd like to share with folks, feel free to share using stewardship.com or share links from the iTunes podcast. And we appreciate you sharing as you guys are all doing and doing such a great job. Don't forget, when you pre-order Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, you'll receive over $70 worth of free bonus items. Start living the life that you really want and pre-order Love Your Life, Not Theirs for just $20 right now at stewardship.com by clicking on store. Please know that here at Ramsey Solutions that we are earnestly praying for you and we're cheering you on. God bless.